to agenda review, do the commissioners wish to revise any items of tonight's agenda?
No.
No. Hearing none, we'll move to community comments. This is when we invite members of the public to come speak on items not on tonight's agenda. Does anyone wish to speak on items not on tonight's agenda? Okay. Hearing none, I'll close community comments and move to written communications. I don't believe we've received any additional written communication. Right along to the consent agenda, approval of minutes of February 21st, 2017. Do the commissioners have any revisions or changes, comments?
No. Second.
We have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda as is. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? None. Motion carries 4-0. And we have no public hearing items tonight, so we'll move straight on to our non-public hearing item, the consideration of 2016 General Plan Annual Report. And if you could please give a staff report.
Absolutely. Thank you, Chair George, members of the Commission. Today you'll be receiving a brief presentation on the 2016 General Plan Annual Report. So a little bit of background about the annual report. The California Government Code, Section 65-400, requires cities and counties to file general plan annual reports with the Governor's Office of Planning and Research by April 1st. According to the statute, the Government Code statute, the City Council is actually must review prior to that date. We're bringing it to you tonight, seeing as though you're the keepers of the general plan, and to make sure that you're aware of the report as well. And being that, you know, we're going over the background about the general plan, so there are 7 required elements, being that Commission went to the training this recently. I'm hoping maybe you know some of these. So, for those at home who don't know, 7 required elements are land use, circulation, housing, conservation, open space, noise, and safety. Rio Grande actually has 3 optional elements as well. Those include agriculture, which is part of the conservation open space element. We also have a standalone economic development element as well. And then the park and recreation element, which is also a standalone element. Now, the purpose of the General Plan Annual Report is intended to report back to the Office of Planning and Research the data that is going on in all the jurisdictions throughout the state, so mostly on trends and land use decisions and issues as they arise. It also is intended to help inform local decision makers in terms of issues, and resource allocation. So there we're talking financial resources and personnel resources. And I wanted to note that the annual report is a factual document. It's here's what happened last year. It does not provide a comprehensive list of everything that the Planning Commission, staff, City Council, that everybody has done over the previous year, nor does it evaluate things that occurred or are currently occurring. It's just a factual, here's what happened last year document. In terms of the contents, you might notice that it's not very long, and the state has no mandated format in terms of these annual reports. It's intended to not be very elaborate or cumbersome or time-consuming for the cities and counties to report back on. And this specific document itself is intended to be built upon over the years, so you'll see something similar but expanded on in 2017, so forth and so on. Now, across the pages of the General Plan Annual Report, you'll notice a couple of things, and these are the main highlights of the actions and statuses of all these different elements that I went over previously. So, in terms of unplanned updates to the elements, currently we don't have any plans to update the agriculture, conservation, open space element, or the noise element at this time. Staff is currently trying to fit into our current work plan updates to the land use element and the safety element. You'll notice I added in safety LHMP and the state law. So those are 2 pieces, the local hazard mitigation plan and state law regarding flood and fire. So we're going to be looking at making those types of updates to the safety element, not necessarily a full comprehensive safety element update. In terms of updates that are currently underway, the big one is the circulation element. So we have an administrative internal draft right now that's currently being reviewed. We anticipate a public draft this summer, summer 2017. And then we are kicking off an update to the park and recreation element as well. So that'll be something that the city staff is working on this year. And in terms of recent updates, so obviously the big one last year in March was the housing element, the 2016 housing element. Associated with that was a development code amendment for emergency shelters. So that the development code amendments are, you know, obviously implementing the general plan. And so that's a good thing to report out as well. And then a recent update to the economic development element occurred in 2012. So you could technically categorize that as the unplanned because we're not currently planning any more updates of that, but it is a recent update as well. So in terms of environmental review is not required for the annual report to the Planning Commission and Council. And then in terms of public notification, the agenda was posted in accordance with the Government Code, Section 54954.2. And we have not received any public comments on this item. But with that, I know it's a very brief overview, but it is recommended that the Planning Commission receive and file the 2016 General Plan Annual Report for final acceptance by the City Council. And I'd be happy to answer questions that the Commission has.
Thank you, Matt. Do the Commissioners have any questions for staff? Commissioner Mack?
On page 8, there's a recommendations for the Planning Commission. It's like the discretionary things that we have done. Does that also include a recommendation for upgrading our parking standards?
No, because that's not an action. You haven't taken any action on that specific project as of yet. We've initially kicked it off and been directed, but that doesn't.
So these are just action items, not things that are pending.
Correct.
Okay.
And I should, let me interject real quick. I should mention as well, if you're looking at page 9, and you take a look at the, in 2016, the Planning Commission received 219 applications. That should be Planning Division. And so those 219 applications obviously do not add up for the total number of items that the Planning Commission approved during that time or recommended on. So these also include the administrative decisions, the staff level approvals or denials that get reported to you. But don't necessarily include everything that you folks do as well.
So basically, this is an action plan of what has occurred, not what is going to occur.
That's correct.
Report. Understood. Thank you.
Commissioner Shira?
Along those lines, not necessarily just about the report, but when we were, when our general plan was approved by the state, was there anything that it was found lacking in that report? Did they, how does that, what does that approval mean? Do you get like a grade A, grade B, grade C, or just yes or no? Or?
No, it's simply a report to the state, so we don't get any, hey, you're doing a great job or anything like that. But they do acknowledge that they received it and that we are taking action to implement the general plan.
Okay, and then in the our general plan was certified by the state just recently, correct?
I'm going to back up on that. So when our last comprehensive update of our general plan happened in 2001, we don't officially submit it to the state. We don't get any feedback from the state. The only element that we do that with is our housing element. And that one's due every 5 years, generally on a 5-year schedule. And we do get that one, we does require certification. And we did that last year, and it's reported in here. And we did get that certified. We had one round of comments, and then they certified it. So that's the status on that.
So then, like, the open space element, the state really doesn't give you approval on that, or is that?
That's correct. I mean, they have guidelines, general plan guidelines of what should be in there, but it's up to the cities to implement their general plans.
All right. Thank you.
Commissioner Martin?
I do. This is more kind of general and background and help me get educated a little bit. There at the bottom of page 8, it talks about 620 permit applications and 520 permits. if I'm going to round that out to 75 to 80%, is that kind of typical? I'm assuming there are a number that kind of come in, and this because they've applied doesn't automatically they're going to get one. There may be some denials. Is that typically about an 80% of the applications end up getting successfully processed at any over a period of time?
It fluctuates year by year. We've been holding steady in the last couple of years around issuance of about 530-ish permits. It was, of course, much less during the recession years, and really kind of depends on the types of permits we receive. Last, 15, 16, a lot of the permits included some solar permits, for example. Those were pretty easy. We wouldn't expect any problems with issuing those. Some of the permits are more complicated, and sometimes folks just don't simply come in for their permit. They opt out of a project, for example. So I would say we that's probably ballpark us generally as status quo for the number of permits approved versus received.
And another kind of general question on this Parks and Rec element that I acknowledge that you're at the early stages of this process, and it says a small team of city staff have been assembled in reviewing the existing element to identify actions. I'm curious whether these are Brown Act and public meetings and private meetings. But is there an opportunity for someone out of the Parks and Rec Commission to maybe assist, one person to assist in that process rather than being purely a staff process?
Yeah, we would fully expect that's the working commission for that particular element in the early stages. We're just trying to ferret out right now, scope of work for proceeding with that, utilizing the Parks and Rec Commission. Of course, it is a general plan element, so it would come to you. A large part of the discussion is going to be how we generate opportunities for public engagement during that. But again, it's an in-house work product. We've assembled a good team, and I think we've had the kickoff meeting and the next meeting's planned in the next couple weeks.
If I learned anything last week, it's how to engage the public, and no matter how hard you try or we try, there seems to be this small core of people that step up, but that should at no time diminish our efforts to always consistently and ongoing and providing opportunities. So I just kind of, when I looked at that, I go, well, where does the public step into this? I recognize this very early stages in that process. Those are my only comments. Thank you.
Of the 219 applications that came through the planning division, how many of those are completed, do we know?
Completed in terms of?
Approved, moving on, versus still in the process, the application process.
I don't have that number readily available. That would be good information to have handy in the future. But we do, obviously, we have carryover from year to year, depending on when the applications do come in. So, and this is, I should have pointed it out earlier, OPR does allow you either to do these annual reports based on calendar year or fiscal year. We chose to do annual year based on the timeline of when we were working on it, as well as just our permit system does permits by year, not by fiscal year. So once we hit 2017, it's easier to track 2017 permits going forward. But there is some carryover there, but I don't have that number available.
I'd just be curious to know, just to get an understanding of how efficient the city is operating with the permits that come through. Those are my only questions. Thank you. Do commissioners have any other comments or questions regarding this item?
No. One more question.
Commissioner Mack?
You may have mentioned the only thing that we're really required to be overseen is the housing element. Would this be the format to actually document, well, how many units we have provided in terms of affordability, whether it's been moderate or low income, and would this be the report that would occur?
Sure. So in future years, it's anticipated to include all of that information with this as its own housing element implementation report as well. That would be an appendix to the general plan annual report. So, yes, in future years, it's
and it is, you know, was just approved last year in 2016, March. So all that data is pretty current in the current housing element, which is on our website.
Be really interesting to see how we're doing in terms of meeting that state mandate and the different housing types that we have provided, and understand what the current need is now and what housing types we're in need of.
Sure. And, you know, the housing element includes obviously policies and implementation measures to accommodate and identify housing needs for this particular community, and a lot tends to revolve around what they call the RENA number, which is our regional housing needs number. We don't have to build those units, but we have to plan for those units, and then so we have to make sure that the zoning of the city, the policies of the city, practices of the city, accommodates, facilitates the you know, if somebody wants to come build those units, that we accommodate that by our zoning and our policies. So just a clarification of that. But yes, it includes a lot of data on a portion of the RENA numbers for which types of homes, which types of residential needs, and the number of housing units built.
Thank you.
Well, those are all the questions and comments the commissioners have. So at this point, we can document that the Planning Commission has received and can file the 2016 General Plan Annual Report for final acceptance by the City Council. Is there anyone in the public that wanted to comment on this item? No? Okay. It was a non-public hearing item, but I just wanted to double check. We'll move on to notice of administrative decisions. It looks like we just had one at New Hope Church, 900 North Oak Park Boulevard, the placement and use of one 400-square-foot tent for shade and display area as part of a conference. Do the commissioners have any questions or comments?
No.
We'll move on to commission communications. So this past week, the commissioners were generously, I guess is the word, allowed to attend the League of California Cities Planning Academy, and we learned quite a bit. And so I just thought this would be a good time for the commissioners to each share with the city some of the key items that they learned. Maybe we'll start with Commissioner Burton.
Thank you. Just step one really is, thank you to the city to find the budget item. All five of us jumped at the opportunity and took advantage of it, so it's not going to be a cheap training. But it was a three-day conference down in Los Angeles statewide. For the public that may not be as familiar, it was a statewide conference sponsored by the League of California Cities. There were about 350 attendees that were there at a hotel by LAX. Lots of lively discussions and workshops that we attended. Just a couple of comments. One, the Brown Act is this, depending on where you probably stand on, I don't want to say it's a big gun to our heads, but it certainly is it's a strong policy in an effort to keep our activities as transparent as possible. Woven into a number of the different workshops were reminders about the Brown Act and how it does impact and influence when we meet, how we meet, what we can say, and things of that nature. My next comment is, as I piggyback on what I said just a minute ago, we need to be doing more in engaging and including the public in policy-making activities and things of that nature. And this is not trying to imply that we don't do an adequate job today, but even when we're doing an adequate job or better than adequate job, just as a reminder that we have to constantly remind the public that we and encourage the public to get engaged and express their opinions in a public manner. And the last thing, and it does have some Brown Act issues around it, but as I looked around that room, I was able to meet people from all over the state and even some locally. I would look forward to opportunities to meet with some of the planning commissioners from our neighboring communities. I think that there are certainly issues that include, you know, both Grover Beach and Pismo Beach and even Oceana, although that's a different kind of animal politically in our area, but just getting together to kind of discern and discuss common issues and priorities. That there's so many things in our lives that extend past city limits. We, by ordinance, obviously are legally obligated to be reviewing and looking at those things within our own city, certainly things around traffic and housing are activities that are impacted throughout the South County and the county as a whole, but in particular South County. And it'd be interesting to be able to have opportunities to be able to meet with some of them as well, whatever format we could pull off. Those are my comments. Thanks. I had a great time. Thank you.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yeah, I just, again, wanted to thank the City Council and particularly Karen Ray. I don't know exactly the idea who it was originally, but I know Karen, I think, brought it to the City Council, and it was unanimous. And I just want to thank them. I didn't really know what that was when that motion was passed. I remember seeing that going on. That sounds like fun, and I don't even think that I was a commissioner yet. But it was so educational for me as a rookie, as the rookie on board here, just to see how the pieces of the puzzle fit together. You know, and you have an idea, having, you know, been on the other side of this table, you know, what a planning commission is, but how it fits in with all the other pieces was really, was a great thing to see. It was great to get to know my fellow planning commissioners here on an initial basis. I just had a great time. We learned a lot. One of the things that struck me there was a group from San Diego came together, and they talked a lot about some of the struggles that community went through over time, and really it wasn't until they got all the groups together, local citizens, they got environmentalists, they got the planning people together, and the developers, and they sat down in a room for an extended period of days, it sounded like, to basically iron out their differences so that when they walked away, they were able to develop the community in a way that everybody left happy. I don't ever want to have the traffic that San Diego has, but the traffic was already there, and that was kind of the point. They had already gotten to that point. There's quite a few moments like that just really overflowed into, I think, our community and things that we can learn and pitfalls we can avoid. To echo Glenn's point, getting together with other commissioners, yeah, we learned a lot about the Brown Act. I didn't really ask questions about other cities and where that falls in, but, you know, we didn't have that much time because we were always going, you know, class to class to class to really have some great in-depth discussions with planning commissioners, and we do, I think we do, our committees do share a lot of challenges that are like mine that we could actually I think, you know, bounce ideas off of and say, hey, this worked for us. You know, we were in that same situation 2 or 3 years ago. So I'd be all for that, assuming that we don't get in trouble for doing it. So, and that's all I have.
Commissioner Mack?
Gosh, I could probably go on for hours. But I want to thank City Council. If you're watching or listening, it was truly a rewarding 3-4 days. And that's really taught us how to be more civil with each other. We all come from different homes and different backgrounds. We can agree to disagree, but now I think we all feel comfortable as a commission to be able to engage in some of the tough topics and the tough topics that other cities are facing, because we have things that are changing. We have the computer. We have the cell phone. It was really evident in a lot of the different discussions that we had that it's playing an important role. And the Brown Act, just to reiterate on the Brown Act, I learned a whole other level of information that I did 2 years ago. You know, how the cell phone could, you know, you need to put it away. If you end up texting or looking at the cell phone, you have to open that up to the public, for example. Different ways that ex parte communication can occur that I wasn't aware of, that now I am. But in a nutshell, we learned a lot. A lot of good things came out of it. I know we're updating our parking standards, seeing how the city of San Francisco. Now you can put an app on your phone to look for available parking stalls within a community, and they have these parking meters. There's no such thing as free parking anymore. But there's an app that you can put on your phone, and the most available parking stall will be cheaper than the more higher demand parking stall. I mean, there's just so many little things like that that we could probably share for hours. But the truth of the matter, and at the end of the day, we're the last line of defense for the public. We learned that, you know, yes, we have all these rules. We have property rights. We have owner's rights. We have developer's rights. And just seeing how different cities and organizations and how the League of Cities pulls that all together, because we are really under the gun. The Planning Commission has a big task, and we also have a big target on us. And we're not getting paid to do this. You know, our love is for the city and to see that things are done according to the general plan and the policies laid down by City Council. And if anything, the conference enabled me to really look at our land use policies and stand by them and ensure that future developments will be shaped the way that the citizens of this community had envisioned. I think the most rewarding thing was kind of comical, but it really set in stone. The last day, they did a mock Planning Commission meeting. And they had all the things that could possibly go wrong in a Planning Commission meeting staged in that morning. And I learned a lot. I took a lot away from that. I'm even going to be asking questions like, why don't we have a city attorney on some of these bigger meetings so we can ask questions of the city attorney? I don't know if you saw that. I know some of them are seven-member commissions. Some are five. We're five. Some are volunteers. Some are appointed. Some are elected, but I think we're going to see a lot more from this Planning Commission asking more questions, because I learned that you can't ask enough questions.
Yeah, I agree with all our commissioners' comments. It was just a fantastic conference academy. I've called it five different things: conference, academy, seminar. I'm like, Glenn, what actually is it? A few things that I took away from it. Was one, and it was something that I'd said in a meeting a while ago when a member of the public came and addressed us, is we took an oath at the very beginning of our term to serve the public, serve the people of Rio Grande, and going to this academy really solidified that. We don't work for staff, we don't work for the city, we work for the people of Rio Grande, and the information that we took this past week just... it's mind-boggling how much we took in such a short amount of time. Some of the things that I found fascinating is how much the state mandates what we can and can't do, especially with infill housing. And I know that density is a huge issue with our community, and no one wants to see a high-density, low-income housing development come in. And some of the mandates that are coming through by the state, the city's hands are tied. And so that was really interesting for me to learn about some parking solutions. Commissioner Mack had touched on it with the paid parking. They just have great formulas for, you know, if you put in parking meters and the meter money goes directly to a very specific local development organization or fund, then the people of the city will see where that money is going, and there's a ratio of like 85%. You always want to have 85% of your parking spots full and 15% empty, so at all times someone can come up and park. And how you do that is you set a rate, whatever that rate is, and then you slowly watch. And if your parking is too sparse, then maybe you drop the rate a little. If it's too, you know, if it's too full still, then you raise the rate a little until you get to the point where you're at a point where no matter when you come and go, there's going to be a parking spot for you. And that money that comes in can help either downtown improvement or whatever local fund the city chooses to use the parking meter for. What was interesting about that, also along the lines of the parking meters, is that people will, you'll have different prices depending on where you are. So maybe right here it may be $3 an hour, but down the block it's only a dollar an hour. So it gives people some flexibility if they want to do a little bit of walking to save some money. And they have some great technology out there where locals can get a discount. If you have a smart car, you can get a discount. So while it may be $4 an hour to park for a tourist, you know, maybe the locals only have to pay $1.50 based on all of their little savings that they. So anyways, just fun things that we learned and definitely things that we will use in future meetings and projects that come before us. Just give us a little bit more insight into how things are presented to us. The other thing is the water. They talked a lot about water and how I know we just had a huge rain and news reports all say, well, gosh, we're out of the drought now. And so citizens are coming forward saying, hey, why are we still being charged higher prices for water when we're supposed to be out of the drought? And unfortunately, until the state removes their mandate of, is it 26% decrease, you know, the city can't do anything about that. So that was something that the Academy really tried to stress with their commissioners, because everyone in California, all the commissioners are getting the same question. Why are we still paying rates, or why are we still being penalized for using too much water? Why do we still have to conserve when the state now has water? So until the state mandates otherwise, we have to go with it. So those were my takeaways. It was a very well-run Academy, and I appreciated spending the time with my local commissioners. I really feel like we all have the general public's best interest at heart. So I'm looking forward to the next few years serving together and seeing what we were able to do to help the citizens of Aurora Grande. That being said, I saw Commissioner Fowler Payne come in at around 6:25, so I wanted to make a note of that and see if she had any comments about the Academy.
Well, one thing I enjoyed was the fact that we all kind of separated. We didn't stay in the same study session, so we all had the opportunity to take away something a little bit different. I found the the one on findings was really interesting, and I'm not sure if anybody else went to that one. And the other one I went in was, and I just thought it was good information, and I've got that flyers that were handed out on the tree ordinances and how to replant your trees so that they'll thrive and they don't break up the sidewalk. And so those were a couple of things that I thought were interesting. I'm sure being late, everybody's gone through that, but I was at another seminar today, so just got out of that and came here. So didn't have to do with the Planning Commission, though. So anyway, I thought it was good. It gave us all a chance to sit down together and get to know each other and kind of, I don't want to say bond, but have that opportunity, which we don't here. We come and we go, and we don't really see each other outside of this hearing room. So I thought that was a good opportunity also. Thank you.
Those were our comments. Commissioner Mann.
A couple other comments I want to discuss amongst commission, aside from our Planning Academy. There was a gentleman that came up to the mic last week, and I think it was Weissall, and had a bunch of issues, but I wanted to get a first-hand look of Oak Park Boulevard. And he did have a valid point on Oak Park Boulevard. I went up and down. There's been lots of improvements on both sides, new handicap ramps. All the concrete's been torn out. All new AC's been put in. But no crosswalks have been put in. Nothing's been striped. And I just don't know if we're not finished or whether there's going to be. And this is going across Newport, across Seabright. And I know he was asking, well, can we do a crosswalk going across Oak Park Boulevard? And I'm just wondering if we could do that. And if we did do that, I'm sure we could probably share an expense with Grover Beach for that to happen. The reason why I think that's a good idea is everyone does go really fast down there, and we keep putting signs up that are flashing. Now we got one that says, you're going too fast, that flashes at you when you get over 35. And I think if you do put a crosswalk over Brighton, that would tend to slow the traffic down and allow people to go over to the commercial side without having to go all the way down to Oak Park Boulevard. So I just, you know, again, trying to serve the public and see what comments it might have validity. I looked at that, and I thought that was valid. And then the next thing I wanted to know is if there's a way that we can make a recommendation to City Council, you know, talking about Camper Royal. I know that's up for sale again. I don't know if we can look at putting an overlay on there, or open space, or parkland, or even question staff about, well, when developments move forward, I know developers have to pay these park and rec fees. They either build a, have to build an active park, or they pay a fee. I'm wondering how much money is in that kitty these days, and if there's enough to make an offer on the property. All questions I don't know, but I know there's vehicles out there to help assist with that. Those are my comments, and I want to discuss it with my fellow commissioners.
I know that going back to the Academy, they shared tons of different slides on how different roads can be updated nowadays, and I think that that corner of Oak Park and Grand is a perfect example of how we can start implementing some of these complete streets and just really rethinking how we design our streets. So more so than just putting in a crosswalk, which I don't know what the implications are of having a crosswalk across Brighton. I think that would be a great idea if it were feasible. But really just maybe that might be something that we can look into in the future, that Oak Park intersection. I know we're working on the Halcyon right now, so that might be a fun one to tackle and explore more in the future, that Oak Park intersection. I completely agree with you, Commissioner.
FYI, the entire intersection at Oak Park and Grand is within the city limits of Grover Beach. You have to go up a couple blocks at least, and I know down at least one block before there's the city limits are there. I certainly agree with Commissioner Mack about crosswalks. It'd be interesting to see or to hear about whether that's in hours of public works or something like that. Just a review on kind of what's going on and how that happens between the two cities when you have the two municipalities involved on a busy street like that, and how do we make a safe access for the citizens of these two communities.
Was there funding supplied by Caltrans for a portion of that Oak Park Willow Park when they revitalized it?
I'm going to speak very generally here for an item not on the agenda, but I am going to just, I heard your comments and will follow up, happy to follow up. And just speaking very generally, yes, the city and Grover Beach both participated in you know, it was primarily the city of Grover Beach's project. We participated in our portion, and it was done with a lot of help from the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments through funding. I forget the funding pot of money right now. So that was a very fruitful project, and as when you pave streets and they become smoother, they become faster. And so now we're as anticipated receiving speeding complaints. So I just wanted to follow up very briefly on your comments regarding your training. I can say that the staff, and I'm sure council, and I'm sure the community, hopefully, is very pleased that you all took the opportunity out of your, you know, busy lives to go up there for the training and participate. I'm just very pleased to hear that it was fruitful and exciting for you, because that kind of spills over to us as well, and hope we keep that excitement going, because I know that when we attend conferences, sometimes we're excited for until we get kind of beaten down in the daily workload. So I'm going to count on you guys to continue the enthusiasm, and I'm just really pleased. So I'm hearing that public engagement was a very big topic, and the interest in working on regional, South County, perhaps regional issues. So very good, and some topical discussions, very topical. Sounds like you hit some water and parking and trees. So those are all highly topical here, so that's great. Really good. I can go into staff communications.
Sure.
So I just wanted to report, speaking of complete streets, we have our next public engagement opportunity in April. April 12th and 13th is a dates for that, again, to be held at Harlow School, which is on the route. Worked pretty well last time, so we're going to try that again this time. And so I would encourage you to kind of stay tuned for more updates, but encourage anybody you know to attend. We have a link on our website that gives some information on it, and we'll be sending out notices as the time approaches to try to get folks there again. We had pretty good attendance last time, and so we're hoping for that again. We have seen some preliminary alternatives, and it's very exciting. So,
do you have a time on that meeting?
5:30 to 8:00.
And that's all I think we have for staff.
Great. Okay, well, commissioners, have anything else you'd like to discuss?
I always have to say something. Another thing I learned at the Planning Academy is staff is invaluable. I heard it over and over again that we need staff. We need you. And I might not say it, but I want to say it publicly. Thank you for all your hard work in delivering great staff reports. I know it might look like I'm not appreciative because I ask so many questions, but you guys are always have answers. And if not, you do the research and you come back and you let us know. And I thank you for that. And just want to acknowledge that the Planning Academy was right. You guys are invaluable to us. Thank you.
Absolutely. That all adjourned tonight's meeting. I have a second. Oh, do you have more?
No, I'm going to pound the gavel.
She really wants you to pound the gavel. Meeting adjourned.